Support for this podcast comes from Planned Parenthood. It's hard to imagine a world where we leave future generations with fewer rights and freedoms. Since the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills aimed at blocking people from getting the essential sexual and reproductive care they need, including abortion. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves access to care. And with supporters like you, they can reclaim our rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future to learn more and support their cause.
Welcome to Reporting is Eligible. I'm Paul Noonan of Acme Packing Company and the Shepherd Express. And this is our combine edition of the show where the guys are busy. JR is being the real beat reporter still. Good for him. He's actually down there doing work. But to join me from Indianapolis itself, I've got...
Hey, it's Evan Tex Western, managing editor, Acme Packing Company. And I bumped into JR a couple times already today. We're going to go out and play some trivia at one of the breweries I like down here in downtown Indy tonight. So awesome. that should be a good time. Things are getting underway. It's midday on Tuesday. So really the only thing that's happened so far is Gutekunst and a couple of the coaches and GMs have talked, but some interesting stuff to lead off the week from Goody before we start getting into prospects starting tomorrow and then workouts on Thursday.
Yeah. He was actually, I think, a more insightful bunch of data than I was expecting out of him. I usually expect just non-informative speak on these things, and he was pretty candid.
Yeah, it's interesting. He's certainly been a lot more candid and open than, say, Ted Thompson was in years gone by.
That's
true. By comparison, just about anything is a lot more candid than that. But some very interesting comments. If we want to get right into it, I think right off the top, the left tackle position is, certainly a big question mark with what's the team going to do with Bakhtiari, the whole dead money thing and his contract and $40 million cap hit and everything that comes along with that. And basically he said that, we know we need to make a decision on that before the time the league year starts on March 13th. And so decision's coming.
Deadline.
Exactly. And he said something about, I don't like to make decisions until I have to, but I know that that's coming and it's definitely going to be time to make the call on him. And I wrote it out this morning that, look, everything points towards the Packers releasing him, right? We've talked about it a number of times on the site, just the fact that he's got a $41 million cap hit. You release him, you free up 20 plus million of that. And, that combined with still really not knowing what the condition of his knee is after the additional repairs that he had in the fall. And then Goody even talked about Rashid Walker. He was asked if he thinks that Walker can be a number one left tackle. And he says, I think he's already proven that he can be. So with a guy already waiting in the wings, seemingly, that the front office trusts to take over, that certainly... Yeah, the writing seems like it's on the wall for me.
That was the explicit tea leaves, I feel like.
Yeah.
It was a little bit obscured on Bakhtiari, but when you actually bring him, like, no, we're fine, then I think writing's definitely on the wall for him. And there's not really a reason to bring him back. There's not a reason to kick the salary cap can down the road with him at this point. You have the future. You don't need that. Go let him play with Aaron.
Agreed. Yeah, I think that's the only way that he doesn't end up getting cut is if some team is willing to take on, that contract and that that uncertainty. And frankly, if I were another team, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't give up a draft pick for a guy who's, played 13 games in 3 years. And that's about the only other scenario I could see. I don't see a scenario where he's willing to take a big pay cut and the Packers are willing to, extend him at this point. So it just doesn't seem like it's in the cards at this point.
I agree. I am happy that Goody said that he would like to draft more quarterbacks. That always makes me happy.
Yes.
That means I can still write about them. So happy about that. And that's a good process. I'm glad that they care so much about positional importance, even if they don't need one at the moment.
Absolutely. I mean, that was the old Ron Wolf approach, right? Always take a quarterback and, you know, day three of the draft and have somebody, you know, churning the bottom end of that room. And
move it up as it gets closer, and you'll find a bunch of good ones in the process.
Yeah, exactly. You know, provide that extra competition in every room. And Goody kind of talked about that a little bit too today. You know, using the receiver and the tight end rooms as an example of creating competition last year on offense. And then he kind of said this year, we want to do the same thing on defense with some of those positions that they need to find some contributors at, linebacker, safety being a couple of big ones. So he's kind of looking at, all right, we did a good job of creating that competition in those rooms on offense last year. It had, you know, really good results down the stretch, and hopefully they'll be able to do something similar. And I imagine that with the financial flexibility that they'll have, the bigger than expected increase in the cap just allows for a little more flexibility there. And so certainly think that they'll take some swings, or at least try to take some swings, you know, at those two positions in particular in free agency. You know, the double dip makes a lot of sense, kind of like the way they did it in 2019 with the Smiths and Gary, and then at safety as well.
Yep, I think that's probably right on. I guess the last thing is something that's been big news the last couple of years now.
Yeah.
It did come on cognitive testing, and he was vague about the specific kinds of cognitive testing. I did watch what you sent over. I got the impression it was much more along the lines of like a Myers-Briggs DISC thing than the S2 cognition test that he was talking about. You actually heard it. Why don't you?
Yeah, he was asked really kind of, you know, how does the Packers organization view kind of the cognitive testing, and do they take guys off the board based on results and things? And he kind of said, well, no. And he also made a clear distinction between like the testing that the Packers like to do and the NFL kind of the league-wide testing. So certainly seems like there was a clear distinction there that he wanted to draw about that. I think to some extent, you're right that it seems like it's more personality and learning style types of testing that the Packers try to do with guys, that if they can't do that, you know, a place like the Combine, that might be a reason why they would bring a guy in for a visit during the pre-draft process or see if guys can do things remotely. But he said that no, they don't necessarily use that to take players off the board. It's more of an information piece or just another data point that will allow them to help bring that player along, develop them once they get inside the building, and, you know, really sort of learn how to teach to that player's strengths and the way that they learn, which I think is a very, you know, it seems like a very smart way of taking that data, taking that information and putting it to good use for the team.
Yeah, agreed. That's a good use for that kind of stuff. And I like the progressive nature there. That's good thinking. I'm very happy with the front office right now. They just seem to be doing an excellent job, whenever they open their mouths and with all of their decisions.
Yeah, it is funny how much, you know, getting the quarterback and having a really, really good draft class can sort of change perceptions a little bit, right? Because coming into last year, I think there was still felt like there were a lot of question marks among Packers fans and among the discourse about, is Goody the right guy for the job long term? I think I haven't heard any of those questions in the last several months.
No, you have not. All right. Any other big breaking news you wanted to mention? You broke the news to me before this that it's Cooper DeJean, which is awful.
That's obnoxious.
He falls to us, honestly.
Yeah. Well, and I'm thinking about this both as someone who took French for several years in middle school and high school, and as someone who was a fan of the Brewers when Mike DeJean was the closer.
Exactly.
That pronunciation bothers me. But the only other really funny moment that I caught today was Elliot Wolf, obviously former Packers exec and son of Ron Wolf, who's now GM of the Patriots, was asked how the Packers keep doing it with quarterbacks, and he just said, it's luck. It's just luck. Obviously he was kidding, but that was a pretty good line.
It was. does bother me though, I gotta say.
Yeah. But again, yeah, we'll be here all this week. I'll probably be in the Acme Packing Company podcast feed the next couple of days, do some rundowns of some of the interesting players I talked to, and kind of previewing ahead to the following day's workouts and things. So as we go along here in the next couple of days, keep an eye out for that as well.
Indeed, you should. All right, anything in particular you're looking especially forward to watching?
I'm really kind of intrigued to see some of these linebackers. There's a couple of interesting body types, and you got, you know, the more that the NFL and college football really goes to that spread approach, you've got these lighter, faster linebackers who, you know, more the coverage players. And I'm just kind of curious to see how some of these guys, like the Edgerrin Cooper, the guy from Washington, Ulofosio, and some of those kind of guys, just seeing how they work out. That's going to be, you know, very interesting, given that that's a position of need for the Packers. Them and the running backs. It's an interesting running backs class. I know Tyler and Justice are going to get into it pretty soon on the Draft Talk series for APC, but it's a draft class with a lot of really interesting talent, and I think some guys who are going to test really well. But you just don't have those, you know, two or three top end three down backs that you oftentimes get. And so, you know, it's entirely possible we might not see a running back go in the first two rounds of this draft, but I fully believe that there's guys who can be found in the middle rounds who can be difference makers when put in the right system and used the right way. So those two, and then just, you know, I'm always going to focus on the perceived positions of need for the Packers. So getting to know some of the safety prospects will be interesting as well. And, you know, seeing some of these potential corner to safety, possible transitions, DeJean being one of those. Yeah, that'll be an interesting thing to follow. And interesting that they're starting off with the defense first this week. So we'll see defensive players working out Thursday, Friday, instead of the offensive players going first. I'm sure that's just to try to get eyeballs on the workouts on the weekend. With
I'm 100% sure that is what it is.
Yeah. Quarterbacks, receivers, and running backs all working out on Saturday. They're trying to get people on the couch and tuning in. So I'm sure that's a big part of it. But yeah, I think those are kind of the big focus areas. So I'll certainly be looking at you know, those big positions the next couple of days.
Yeah, I like this running back class actually quite a bit. I think it's better than it's given credit for. And a lot of, like, I think you're right, that not a lot of guys will go high. But, like, Jonathan Brooks, I think, would be a first-round-worthy guy, if not for injury concerns. So I want to snag him later. I think he's good. Uh-oh. We have a problem. All right, well, while Tex is getting technical difficulties sorted, I also actually am looking forward to watching the down roster quarterbacks now that I know we might actually take one, because I actually learned quite a lot from the throwing drills last year, which I always used to laugh off. They told me a lot about, first of all, Tyson Bagent not being able to throw at an NFL level, which came in handy for us because the Bears took him, and CJ Stroud having a much better arm than I thought, matching Richardson throw for throw. So I want to see those guys. Who are going to fall into the, you know, fifth and sixth rounds and see if anybody actually has a gun other than Milton, who clearly does. Now that the technical glitches have been momentarily corrected, let's do some questions. We, of course, have some questions from our patrons. If you want to ask a question priority, you can go to patreon.com/walkiestailgate. It costs $2 to get question priority on the podcast, and it's drafty. We'll do, you know, a couple of these here and there. First one is from Mark Butzgarby. One draft thing I'm always interested in is Paul's under the radar quarterback and wide receiver prospects. Even though Green Bay will likely not be in the market for either one, I'd love to know who Paul's guys are this year. So right away, it's my question. And I have not quite finished everything yet. But I will tell you that the top ROPS guy who's not on everybody's radar is Javon Baker. And you may have seen his name kicked around Twitter just a hair because a couple of guys managed to get early access to ROPS stuff and beat me to the punch on that. He's a UCF guy. He's good. I would take him late. He'll be available. Quarterback wise, and I lost my spreadsheets because of course I did. Quarterback wise, I would definitely be interested in Milton just because he is a physical specimen. And if you're going to have a guy sit on the bench anyway, you may as well have that guy. Jack Plummer is the other one who is probably a little better than conventional ratings suggest. He's way down. I think he's possibly been projected as an undrafted free agent. He's actually been pretty good. So I don't know if his arm's any good. I'm going to watch him if he's throwing. I hope he does. But I think he's a little bit unheralded. So that one too.
Yeah, admittedly, I have not watched any of the, down the rankings receivers or quarterbacks to have much of an opinion, other than I do remember Milton in the bowl game for Tennessee, not this past year, but the year before, when Hendon Hooker was injured. And he was fun. He was fun. There's some tools to work with there that you could give him some time to develop, and you might be able to find a little something there.
Yeah, I feel like he's a little bit undervalued in all, by basis of comparison to Hooker, who was like off the chart great last year. And Tennessee's offense wasn't that good this year, but they also lost quite a few receivers, and he wasn't that bad, honestly. Like, his accuracy numbers aren't terrible. They're just not like what Hendon Hooker put up last year. So I would definitely, as long as you're going to be developing a guy, that, like, he has the best physical tools in this class, for anybody in this class. Just a matter of if you can teach him to do a lot of the little things right. And we've shown to be good at that. So I would love it if we got him randomly. That'd be super fun. All right. Next up, from Jonathan Deal. Sorry, Paul. Who is worth trading up for this year? That's a troll question. Particularly in any Packers area of need.
Man,
yeah,
it's so tough for questions like this early in the process, at least for us. Certainly the teams have a better idea of where their draft boards are shaken up at this point, but I mean, talking about positions of need, looking at linebacker, I mean, there seems like, and again, Justice and Tyler did a great job breaking down the linebackers last week, but there's such a big teardrop between Edger and Cooper as the number one linebacker and the rest of the guys that I could understand if they went with a guy like Cooper earlier. I don't think you need to trade up from 25 to get him. I don't know that there's that guy at linebacker, at safety, either of those spots that you really need to move up from 25 to get a guy. If you're moving up from 25, you're probably looking at moving up for a corner or maybe an offensive tackle. If you know the smoke about Richard Walker is just kind of smoke and they want to improve on that position, or you know they want to get a right tackle and put like Zach Tom at center or something like that. Those are the only two where I think there's a real a possibility, at least position wise, that would make sense to move up from.
Yeah, Edgerton Cooper, like, Brugler has going 42nd. So, like, maybe a second-round trade-up.
With the Jets pick. I mean, that's – I think the Jets pick was – the pick from the Jets is 41, something like that. So, right in that range.
So, like, I feel like our positions of need are not positions where you really should trade up most of the time. You know, you trade up to get a quarterback, to get somebody at another premium position, maybe in, like, a super elite edge rusher. Maybe a corner, but we need safeties and running backs and inside linebackers. They should really just let this draft come to them, I think, more so than any draft that they've had in the recent past.
Yeah, and especially with 5 picks in the top 100, they've got ammo to hit a bunch of needs, in those first 3 rounds. And, and also you can do a mix of best player and probably get guys at those positions that you need in that in that best player range with all those 5 picks and still be pretty well able to justify that and get a lot of good players coming in.
Yeah, I suppose on the flip side, there's just not a lot of roster space for them to use all of their picks, so to some extent they almost have to trade up at some point. But if I had to wager, I bet that's just moving up a little bit in the 4th or the 3rd for guys that they really want, using some of those deeper picks more than making like a big splash in the 1st.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Is if they've got these 3 or 4 comp picks coming that I think still haven't been announced yet, I could see maybe they try to move up from the 4th and get back into the 3rd with another you know, a sixth pick in the top 100 or something. If there's somebody sitting there right at the end of day two that they really like.
Yeah, yeah. Something like that makes sense. And I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. Actually, I'd be surprised if it doesn't. All right. Jack Bushman asks, it's the off season, so I'm dreaming a little bit. Would the Vikings survive a Tom Brady Patriots-like dynasty from the Jordan Love-led Packers? In my dreams, the Packers win 5 Super Bowls in 10 years, and the Vikings pack their bags and leave for the West Coast. You know, the Vikings are – we make fun of the Bears for not ever getting a quarterback, and the Vikings have done it like a couple times, at least with, like Tarkenton. But they're almost as bad, and they have shown no signs lately of being able to get a quarterback. Like, Kellen Mond is bad, and Jaron Hall is bad. Like, they don't seem to know what they're doing. They're stuck with Kirk because they don't know how to figure this out. So, no, they wouldn't.
Yeah, it's they're never drafting high enough to get a top quarterback prospect. And, yeah, I mean, Kirk came – I'm trying to remember. He was – they signed him as a free agent when they originally got him, right? From Washington.
They did.
Those guys don't hit the market these days. So, yeah, good luck.
Yep.
I think the question is, how long does that front office stay in place if, you know, they kind of keep on the same trajectory?
Yeah, they got to figure this out at some point. If any front office needed to take a couple of cracks at a developmental, like, sitting quarterback, it's this one. And it just never seems to actually come to fruition for them. I mean, one of their best backup quarterbacks in the last few years is on our coaching staff now. So, Sean Mannion, hopefully you're something. all right. Flaley Jill Osmond asks, is this a best available or needs-based kind of draft? And what's the most exciting trade-up down situation that won't happen? Bakker Jones thrown in for some thirds? We're not doing that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that kind of gets at what we just talked about a little bit. I think this can be both, given how many picks they have in the first couple of rounds. You know, and I think, you know, if you want to get crazy, sure, you can try to, you know, see if you can find a taker for Bach, but I think that's going to be a real hard sell for anybody.
I
don't see any scenario at this point in which Aaron Jones, you know, they don't find a way to come bring Aaron Jones back on some sort of adjusted deal or pay cut or something this offseason. I certainly don't see a way that he's getting traded, given, you know, he's going to have more value to the Packers than any other team, even if, you know, if he were to get cut. So I think the pitch there is kind of like they did last year with Jones is, look, we can cut you and you can take your chances on the open market, or we can just give you a pay cut. You'll probably still get more cash this year with the pay cut than you would on the as a free agent. So kind of a win, hopefully a win-win for everybody, and reduces cap hit a bit.
Yep. I think they're really unpredictable on needs versus best available. And I feel like last year, the Quay year, I feel like was a sort of needs-based draft a little bit more than usual. But I feel like they also just will go best available with some regularity. So I think they kind of stick to their board early, and if it happens to be needs-based, great. And trying to fill in the needs, like, in the second, third round. But I kind of think everybody kind of does that.
Yeah, I think that's right. And they were fortunate last year, right, that need and best available matched up pretty well on day two between tight end and receiver. You know, hopefully that will be the case again this year, you know, with maybe linebacker and safety as well.
Yeah, hopefully so. Especially safety. Really need safeties. Sick of bad safeties. Patrick Denver asks, how long after the combine until we can expect RAS numbers to become available for athletes not attending the combine? Are those found during their pro days? And what if they don't test at all or are injured, like Texas running back Jonathan Brooks? Do they not get assigned a RAS? Fun RAS questions. Kind of answered within, but Kent gets those out pretty quick.
He does. He cranks out those players' cards oftentimes within an hour or two of that position group's drills being finished.
Yeah.
So once those go live, he is working hard this week to get those out. But yeah, in terms of pro days, then yes, if there's no combine times, he'll get them based on the pro day times. And in the case of an injured player, yeah, there's just, you know, you're going to have an empty block for the testing results, and his card will, you know, the player's card will just have their raw measurements, but they won't get a full score.
Yeah. And he does make cards for even one measurement. Like, if you go see Bryce Young's, for instance, I think he's just height and weight and maybe like one running drill, but that's it.
Yeah.
So, you know, there'll be something. And if you don't follow Math Bomb on Twitter, you should, because he does just like tweet those out as they finish.
Yep.
Those are available very, very quickly. And yeah, pro days come later. Raz season is fun. Lastly, is there a prospect in this class that you're pounding the table for regardless of how they test?
No is the short answer for me.
Yeah, I would love with any of these. If we needed receivers, I think I'd be more vociferous on that, but like, we don't, so anything like that is just gravy. I guess kind of Edgerrin Cooper, since everybody else is, I think, quite a bit worse, but not, honestly, and if he tests bad, that would actually change my mind, I think, at least a little bit.
Yeah, I'm thinking like a guy like Jalen Wright, the Tennessee running back, is a lot of fun, and I see a little bit of Aaron Jones to his game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that might be one guy that I would be very, you know, very much, you know, excited about in the third round, for example. And even if, you know, Aaron Jones didn't test awesome in terms of his pure speed, right? He was a 4.55 guy, I think.
Yeah, that was the one thing back on him.
Yeah, and so I you know,
Super Sports actually put out a very fun guide on which tests correspond best with success at all of the positions, and 40 yard was like the least on running backs. So.
Support for this podcast comes from Planned Parenthood. Your body is your own. That's why Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Today, lawmakers who oppose abortion are challenging Planned Parenthood. Affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. Planned Parenthood believes that health care is a basic human right. That's why they fight every day to push for common-sense policies that protect our right to control our own bodies. They also work tirelessly to oppose the onslaught of new policies aimed at interfering with personal decisions best left to patients and their doctors. They won't give up and they won't back down. You can join Planned Parenthood in the fight to help make sure that the next generation can decide their own futures. The organization needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, they can reclaim our rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future to learn more and support their cause.
Yeah, so I think, I guess Wright's probably the closest thing to me for now, but again, that's probably, you know, if he's there in the mid-third round, that's when I'm, you know, banging the table for him.
I actually like Estime, however you say that name. But I also
He's another fun one. So, yeah, that different, much more of the Dylan style than the Aaron Jones style of runner, but he's a fun one too, for sure.
Alrighty. Next up, we have Keith Keskinen. As someone who doesn't have the time or self-hatred to grind college tape, good on you, me too, as is available to the general public, but would like to dive deep into prospects statistically, what are the best stats to focus on for quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, well, all the positions, which translate best or are more indicative of NFL success? All right.
Oof.
Want me to take offense?
Go for it.
All right. For quarterback, it actually is still completion percentage, but above all else. Development in the NFL has gotten much better for toolsy guys. I actually graphed this out. I'll be writing on a lot of this later. I have a lot of charts made. I need to put pen to paper at some point. But one of the interesting things about completion percentage is that you find good NFL starters at the top of the list and on the bottom five of the list, where you find Anthony Richardson, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson. In the middle, the only two guys that have become decent NFL quarterbacks out of like 85 over the last 5 years are Jordan Love and Justin Herbert. And Justin Herbert's just barely into that middle tier. He's kind of right on the cutoff. So it's just Love is like the hugest outlier in the history of the world. So completion percentage is it for quarterback, for sure. For wide receiver, I've always, in my metrics, combined catch percentage and yards per completion. Catch percentage has gotten too easy to create through scheme in college to the extent that it almost doesn't matter anymore, and it can be deceptive because if you play in a scheme like that, it's going to be artificially inflated. If your quarterback is garbage, it's going to be artificially low. So athleticism, things like yak are much better. Stats where the guy has the ball in his hands already are better than anything he does before the catch. That's if you can get more advanced stats like separation numbers, and if you can scout that kind of thing. But that's even better. But it really is dynamism after the catch. For tight ends, on that thing I just cited earlier that Super Sports put out, it's actually speed. It's one of the only positions where speed actually matters a lot. So like the 40 time of a tight end, just in terms of pass catching, is one of the most important things to look out for. So keep an eye out for that. Height, weight, agility doesn't seem to matter at all. So, and I offensive linemen don't have stats, so nothing.
I can actually point to one. Generally, the short shuttle for offensive linemen. This is one that's been discussed a little bit recently. If you can have an O lineman running a short shuttle in less than about 4.5 seconds, that's usually a really, really good indicator that he's going to be a good player. Like there's, I think Peter Bukowski put out the list of all the guys who ran 4.47 or under in the last 10 years at O line, and the only one who wasn't at least a really solid starter was Jason Spriggs. but he was like the one outlier. Just about everybody else on that list was at the very least a good multi-year starter. So look for guys, especially at offensive tackle, who can change directions quickly. So that short shuttle is a big one. I would say
quarterback really quick pressure.
Yeah,
to sack.
Yeah.
Have to mention pressure to sack matters a ton.
So not a fan of Jaden Daniels then.
It's a huge knock on him. He was unplayable last year and improved. Yep. Drastically this year, but I think he improved through a system quirk where they basically told him to take two reads and then run, which is why he ran for so many yards. And I'm not sure that's a great sign for the next level. So yeah, I'm lower on him than most, even though he was awesome this year. But prospects different.
Yeah, well, and defensively, it's really tough. I mean, ball hawking for players in the secondary, certainly interceptions, pass defenses are a good place to start. I would say for linebackers, almost tackles are almost inversely, just total tackles can be kind of, I think, inversely associated with how good a player is going to be, just because a lot of times the guys who rack up a ton of tackles in college football are, you know, don't end up translating all that well to the NFL. Just kind of a ton of these old school, you know, classic Mike linebackers who don't really have much of a role in the NFL nowadays. Jeremiah Trotter Jr. is one example. Again, going to go back to Tyler and Justice talking about him. That
what do they hate?
You know,
that
I don't
guy.
Know. Yeah, yeah. And the question is about, you know, is he going to have any ability to stay on the field athletically in the NFL? He just cleaned up a ton of tackles, but I would not put any stock in that. I wouldn't necessarily, you know, say that you want to go looking for it and look for guys with lower tackle numbers, but at least, you know, don't necessarily look at that as an indicator of who the better linebackers in the class are going to be. I think that's another one where you just look at your overall athleticism and, you know, focus on that and kind of game-changing plays, turnover plays, pass defenses, those sorts of things too, can play in for off-ball linebackers as well.
Yeah, and edge is just straight RAS plus pressures.
Pressure rate, yeah, yep.
So that's that.
There you go.
All right. Mark Hackett asks, how, if it does at all, will the revised salary cap affect draft strategy?
I don't know that it will affect it won't directly affect draft strategy. I don't think it's going to make a difference in terms of whether or not they're willing to move up or down or how many players they bring in, but I think the added flexibility will give them some more opportunities to do a little bit more in free agency, and then we'll see kind of potential knock-on effects that maybe they don't need to reach for a position of need quite as badly. Again, not that the Packers are a team that tends to do that anyway, but you know, maybe that's a, you know, if you can bring in a couple of vets in free agency.
Yeah, if you get like just one average safety in free agency, then maybe it's safe you having to reach from some guy that you shouldn't be drafting in the draft.
Exactly.
All right. Donald Anderson, have you gone back and compared your post-draft thoughts on the players the Packers drafted and compared them against their on-field play? And if so, has that experience changed your thought process this year? I do that every year. And I actually made a fairly significant changes to weighting on some of my metrics because of it. And not just because of Jaden Reed, who early reports, it really turns out I'm wrong about that. But, like, you can't fix that. He actually wasn't that good in his last year at Michigan State. Just wasn't. He had decent but not huge volume, and he didn't do that much. He was much better the year before. So, but I did change things to reflect receiver athleticism a lot more than I had in the past. I'm actually changing how I use RAS, actually, for all the positions this year because I have a couple of minor quibbles with how RAS is calculated, and I'm going to change them for my own benefit. So yeah, when I get something wrong, I go back and definitely look at what I missed on that player when I evaluated them every single time, and to the extent it's possible, I try to make updates to things.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just good process, right? Is always evaluating your own processes and trying to find those gaps and things. Admittedly, you know, when I come to the combine, I'm not as focused on the testing and things, because what I get to really see a lot of is just the players and interacting with them and doing a lot of, you know, talking to them and in the media interviews and things. And I'm admittedly, like, I'm not a tape guy like Justice and Tyler are. So I guess one of the big things that I noticed from last year to this year is that it seemed like last year, at least, the Packers draft class was a lot of guys who had pretty good seasons in 2021, but didn't really have a great season in 22 heading into the draft. Wicks was that way. Jaden Reed was kind of that way. You know, there are a couple of those guys. Musgrave was hurt for, you know, most of his last college season. So that's an interesting thing, and I'll be curious to follow and look through this year's draft prospects to see, you know, are there some examples of that where, you know, they maybe they're going to be inclined to take a guy who falls because his last year of production wasn't as good, but those traits are there and there's something that they think they can bring out of him. So that's just one of the things that for me, observing this last year through last year's class, is going to be interesting, and I'm going to take a closer look at.
Yeah, keep an eye on Thrash for if we go down for a receiver later in the draft. He has a very similar profile to what Wicks did. So I haven't watched him play very much yet, but he definitely stands out in that regard.
Yeah.
Let's see here. And last question of the day from Price Trozen. Who is a guy at the combines that made Tech say, holy blanking blank, by how they performed in an area or all areas? Which we can answer for this one next week. But
yeah, I think that'll have to be a touch on that one next week once we actually have all the results and things. Yeah. I'm a little bummed that DeJean is not testing here. Foot thing, I think. Ankle, I think, that's keeping him out from testing, because I think he could have been potentially one of those guys. I'm not sure where we're going to get that. I'm sure there's going to be a couple of guys. We're not going to see, I think Malik Nabers, the LSU receiver, isn't planning on working out at all here. I know Marvin Harrison isn't either. So some of those top of the draft guys at receiver won't be testing, and I know the top three quarterbacks won't be throwing or testing, so certainly that level won't be there, but I'm certain there's going to be three or four guys who we didn't see coming who absolutely light it up here, and that's going to be one of those where, you know, we'll have to go back and take a look at those guys. But yeah, it's still a couple days too early to give you a guess there on that one, so sorry to cop out on that.
We'll be back with the Athletic Freaks next week. And really quick to put, Jamari Thrash finished third overall in Robson Robo last year.
Ooh.
And then fell down quite a bit this year. That is not the right spreadsheet. He's lower. He had a drop-off. I haven't looked into why the drop-off happened. But, like, guys who finish in the top five once tend to do very well, even if they do drop off later, aside from Wicks. The other guy who did the exact same thing was actually Puka Nakua, I think, second that year, and then fell off kind of the year after, and, you know, obviously turned out to be quite good. So
yeah, I would say if you're if you're really looking at trying to dial in on who's going to be the Packers' top pick, a couple things to always keep in mind, and I wrote about this earlier this or late last week. Look at guys at premier positions. So we kind of all know what those tend to be. They've only drafted outside of, you know, quarterback, tackle, secondary, and edge, like once in the Gutekunst era, and that was Quay. Look at big school guys, which that's more of just a general trend. That's not necessarily the Packers specifically, but generally, you know, the vast majority, 95% to 97% of first round picks are from Power 4, Power 5 schools. Look at age. So the Packers haven't drafted a guy who's older than 22 on draft day, except for Devontae Wyatt, since, like, I think Wyatt's the only one since 2007 who was older than 22 on draft day. I'm sorry, maybe that was older than 23, but there's only one or two that were even 23 on draft day too. So look for
correlates best to NFL success age above almost any other combine drill.
Yeah. So look for the guys who are 22 and younger on draft day for round one, and then obviously Raz. Just overall athleticism. Look for guys. You know, you can cut it off at eight. Anybody below eight's not going to be a Packers first round pick. I think that's pretty safe. And there's a extraordinarily high likelihood that, you know, they're going to be nine and a half or above.
Yep. All true. All right. Before we get out of here, anything you want to plug?
Yeah, just keep listening to the APC feed this week. I'll be in with some daily updates again coming through the next couple of days as we talk to different prospects. Check us out. I'm going to be posting clips and comments and things from various players on both Twitter and our Instagram. So you can get the Acme Packing Co. Instagram and Twitter, or you can get me at Tex Western on both of those. We'll be kind of bouncing around to the different, you know, both of those accounts, depending on, you know, who I'm. I'll focus on a little bit of Wisconsin players a little bit, since I'm a UW alum for on my personal account, and then look really at, you know, guys with more Packers import on the main accounts. So keep it there. We'll have some write-ups and live threads on the site throughout the week. And yeah, it should be should be a fun week, and look forward to getting to know some of these guys these next couple days.
Nice, should be fun. I will have a piece to you on how big of an outlier Jordan Love is completion percentage wise soon, and why you should be careful with Drake May as a result, and you know, probably a couple other pieces because I love combine time. So everybody keep an eye out for that. But that'll do it for us. We'll be back. The whole feed will be back as the week goes on, and we'll probably do a show next week too here. So keep an eye out for that. But until then, enjoy the combine. It is a good old time. If it's not now, then tell me when would be the time she would stand up and be a man. Folks to lose I could accept, but to surrender
Support for this podcast comes from Planned Parenthood. It's hard to imagine a world where we leave future generations with fewer rights and freedoms. Since the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills aimed at blocking people from getting the essential sexual and reproductive care they need, including abortion. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves access to care. And with supporters like you, they can reclaim our rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future to learn more and support their cause.